blessing. Say amen one more time. We serve an awesome God today. We serve an awesome God today. I'm fishing for a witness. I ought not to have to fish so long. We serve awesome God today. If you judge him by his height, you'll find there's none his size. If you put him in a grave, he'll surely rise. He can walk on the water and not get wet. He went through the fire and didn't even sweat. He's an awesome God today. He fed the thousands who did not have bread. He brought people back from the dead. Drove out demons from the demon bound and taught us how to walk on holy ground. Made the leper's skin like new. Storms dissipated when he told it to. Took jars of water, turned it into wine. Even saved this soul of mine. He's a good God. If your God ain't working today, you ought to show enough. Try my God. He's a good God. I'm elated, I'm thankful, and I bring you greetings from the mystical and magical city of Orlando, Florida, home of Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, MGM, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, Shaquille O'Neal, Tiger Woods, and the best a cappella group, in my opinion, Revelation, serves there in Orlando with me at Southside Church. But I thank God in the midst of all of that tourism, there is a Church of Christ that meets on the south side of Orlando, where I've been privileged to serve as senior minister for the last 16 years. We say about Southside, everywhere we go, that we are first-class people in a first-class church serving a first-class God. We first-class, but we ain't high-class. Everybody's somebody, and only Jesus is everything. We got folks from GEDs to PhDs. We're mediators and not gladiators. We edify and not crucify. We serve the needy and not the greedy. We're spreading the gospel and not gossip. And when you come down to Orlando, Florida, please, ma'am, please, sir, visit us at the Southside Church of Christ. I served there with visionary elders and industrious deacons, and we're all determined to win Central Florida for King Jesus. Words are not readily accessible in my meager vocabulary to express to you my profound gratitude to be here at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. Now in my 31st year of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I've been blessed to preach in 36 states and 3 continents and throughout the Caribbean. But I was told years ago that my resume would never be complete until I stood at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. And so thank you, Brother Gibbs, for completing my resume. I said to him last night, maybe the Lord about to call me on home now. I've been to Mecca. Amen. And so I'm so thankful. And you're a great preacher. I cannot express what he has meant in the lives of preachers like myself when he would, a man of his stature and gravitas, would condescend to take up time with young preachers. And I'm thoroughly appreciate him. I love his spirit. I love the way he carries himself. You all have a prince of preachers. And maybe you don't ever go anywhere. And you know, there's a thing in psychology when we become familiar with people that we don't value and appreciate them enough. But this man has done a yeoman's job. He's well known throughout our brotherhood. And we know you because we know him. And we appreciate him. I applaud you, Brother Gibbs, and thank you for the deposits you have made into my life and my ministry. And I thank you from the depths of my heart. And to the great elders, the bishops, the overseers of this great church that I've come to know from the MIC, and to your industrious deacons who work so interfatigably, and to the membership at large, what a beautiful array of Christians we have here on this morning. Now, I can tell some of you are trying to figure out, can I preach? And I'm trying to figure out, do you know good preaching when you hear it? And I need to tell y'all where I'm from. Folks say amen. Now, I'm y'all guest today. I went on my way to Oklahoma and stopped in here. Y'all invited me. Amen. And when you invite somebody to your house, you treat them like company. Amen. And I can't fry fish in cold grease. Amen. When you get, I mean, come on now, y'all from the country, you can't fry fish in cold grease, and you can't sweat in a deep freeze. And so I just ask that wherever it's amenable and appropriate, that you would give support and lend credence to the preaching of the glorious gospel. Brother Bradshaw, also dear friend for many years, and done a great job in bringing the children to our Southeastern lectureship in Fort Valley, and where I serve as board member. And I'm so thankful to see him and his lovely wife, whom I come to know and love very much. If you be so beneficently kind, allow me to summon your senses and invite your intellect to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I want you to meet me or beat me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. If you found taking your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone 13, or whatever device you have been successful in the navigational process, and now your optic nerve is fastened and fixated on Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, you'll find these words. And he gave some apostles. I hope I don't have to stop and tell you there's no more apostles today. But when Paul wrote this, there were apostles. Of course, the apostolic age ended in AD 95 with John on that tiny windswept island in the midst of the Aegean Sea, the Isle of Patmos. But at this contemporary writing, there were some apostles, some prophets, some who were evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Are you thriving or just surviving? Thriving or surviving? We're privileged today to read from the pen of the great apostolos of old, the former Saul of Tarsus, now known as the Apostle Paul. AD 60 is the time Paul penned this epistolary to the church and the saints at Ephesus. My humble opinion is amongst the greatest valedictories this book is of the New Testament. Not only did he write this book to the church at Ephesus, but seemingly Paul has taken a divine telescope and penned these words to the Church of Christ on Greenville Avenue in Richardson, Texas. You know by now that this letter is concurrent with his letter to the church at Colossae. It is congruent, concomitant, homogeneous, and homogeneous to the other New Testament writings of this great apostle. The courier, the messenger, the FedEx man for this letter, of course, is Epaphroditus. And he makes sure that this letter arrives safely and soundly. This book, Paul dwells on a theme that Christ's church is his body. He seeks to unveil the mystery, the enigma that is the Church of Christ. And he does so in the genesis of this chapter, Greenville, by declaring that he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and that you and I ought to walk worthy of the vocation, of the occupation of being a child of God. And we ought to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. And then Paul did something interesting that the Church of Christ can always hang our hats on. He starts down and plays a game of numerology, but he can't get past the number one. He said, there's one body, you remember, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith and one baptism. One Father who's above all, who's in us all and through us all and helping us all. Now that's why and how he segued and catapulted this discipline that gives me entree to preach today. Let's put this text under the crucible of investigation and you will see the value and the benefit of leadership in determining how a church will function and thrive or whether you just survive. Well, beloved, look at what Paul says. He deals first with the fractions and the friction in the church. And now in our text, he deals with the function of the church. He puts everybody in their own lane. And he tells everybody to play in their own sandbox. Some of you are apostles. Not a, if you ain't an apostle, don't try to be an apostle. Wouldn't that help the church today? If you ain't the preacher, let the preacher preach. Let the elders el. Let the deacons deep. Let the sisters in the y'all sisterhood do their thing. Let the finance man count the money. Let the maintenance man clean the building. Let the teachers teach. If everybody in the church will follow leadership, then the ship will be led in the right direction. Our problem is we got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Jesus is the only one in management. The rest of us are in sales. We don't need another coach. We don't need another owner. We need some more players. We ought to value and appreciate this discipline because Paul said some are apostles. Some are prophets. And if you look at the etymology of that word, he's talking about preachers. Some he called pastors. You have great pastors here, overseers, bishops, shepherds to help look after the flock. Then he said, some of you ought to be teachers. And that helps to round out a leadership module that can keep the saints safe and satisfied in Christ Jesus. And it's for the perfecting of the saints, the works of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. That is the formula. That is the prescription. That is the schematic diagram for Greenville Avenue and beyond to thrive. God's desire, God's will, God's word is for the church to thrive. This is the building blocks and the stepping stones for the church to thrive and not just survive. The devil, a.k.a. Satan, has convinced and seduced some of us to be satisfied with just surviving. We live in a society and a culture that we admire people who survive. If you have cancer and you beat it, we call you a survivor and we celebrate that, and we should. Women and men who are divorced and still remain their integrity with Christ, you're a survivor. When you lose your job but don't lose your house. When you lost your spouse, but you didn't lose your love. When you lost your health, but you didn't lose your good sense. We are a survivor, and we celebrate that. When you lose your health and your wealth, we in our society celebrate survivors. But we ought never be satisfied with just surviving. Anybody in here this morning besides Brother Leonard wants to thrive and not just survive. Well, surviving is the first law of nature. You remember from going by the schoolhouse, Darwin's theory. The first law of nature is to survive. It means when you can tough it out and you can weather the storm, you can overcome a threat. You're still here. You're like Miss Sealy on The Color Purple. You remember she told Mr. I may be black, I may be ugly, I may be stupid, but I'm still here. And I came by to tell you today, sometime in life, you got to celebrate surviving the cataclysmic calamities and the tempestuous storm that life will bring your way. You don't have to sign up for trouble. Trouble's got your address, trouble.com. You don't have to go online and sign up for trouble. You don't have to call and solicit trouble.
trouble. You don't have to go on the shopping network and buy trouble. You don't have to go down to Walmart on aisle 13 and purchase trouble. Just keep living. Trouble will come your way. And it's a good thing when you can survive what the devil throws at you. But I came to tell you, Christ did not die for you just to survive. Christ died for all of us to thrive. He wants you and I to thrive. John 10:10. Jesus reminds us the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. But he said, I came that you might have life. And not just survival. He says, I want you to have abundant life. Thriving means to prosper, to flourish, to bloom, to blossom. It means you're doing well. Okay, young people, it means when you're large and in charge. Old people, it means when you're drinking out your saucer because your cup doesn't run over. It means when you're the head and not the tail. Thriving means when you're the lender and not the borrower. We ought to always celebrate surviving, but we ought never be satisfied with surviving. We ought to want to thrive, because survive means you have life. But thriving means you've learned how to live. Surviving is a physical thing, but thriving is a spiritual thing. Survive is tangible, but thrive is intangible. Survive is extrinsic, but thrive is intrinsic. Survive means when you are blessed, but you thrive when you bless somebody else. You survive when you learn to get, but you thrive when you learn to give. Surviving folk learn how to talk the talk, but thriving folk learn how to walk the walk. Surviving folk can say a prayer, but thriving folk learn how to pray a prayer. Ain't nobody happy but me and Jesus, but that's all right. I thought y'all might be like this, so I packed in my suitcase when I flew here a few amens. The TSA agent stopped me and said, what all this is in your suitcase? I said, amens, just in case I need one every now and then. I came by to tell you, surviving folk can sing a song, but thriving folk have a song to sing. Surviving folk depend on their education. Thriving folk depend on God's wisdom. Surviving folk sleep at night, but thriving folk rest at night. Surviving folk have money in their pocket, but thriving folk have wealth in their hearts. Surviving folk know who you are, but thriving folk know whose you are. Surviving folk know and like and define themselves about what they drive, but thriving folk know who drives them. Surviving folk have Facebook, but thriving folk put their face in this book. Surviving folk depend on God, but thriving folk, God can depend on them. I don't know about you, I don't just want to survive, I want to thrive. Let me move with frenetic speed. Right there in the text, you don't have to skip all over. Right there in the text, we find three quick alliteration that would help Greenville Avenue, Southside Church, and churches everywhere to thrive and not just survive. Right there in the text, Paul starts out this discipline by talking about leadership, because you will never be as great as you can be until you have good and proper leadership. In any organization, not just the church, any group, any fraternity, any sorority, any business, any entity that's meaningful, useful, and beneficial to you, you must have leadership. And not just leadership, but good leadership. You are like we are at Southside. We are blessed with great leadership. I served with some great elders, and we don't have these horror stories I hear about when a preacher and the elders got to pack their guns and 9mm to go to the meeting. We all on one page. We don't always agree. Quit thinking that for you to have a good leadership that you got to always agree. I don't even agree with myself sometimes. My grandmama said teeth and tongue fall out sometimes. Y'all had the same grandmama idea? You know, your teeth and tongue got to live together, but sometimes your teeth bite your tongue. And sometimes your tongue will cause your teeth to get knocked out. So what? Y'all done got quiet on me here.
And they still got to live together. Say amen with your cat. So what I'm trying to tell you is, when you're in close proximity with people or situation, sometimes you don't agree, but you don't have to fall out. Come on, married folks, say amen. If you've been married over 3 days, you done thought about leaving. Say amen if you can. What are real people at in here, okay? You fake phony folks, I can't hear you. And I know you're sitting by your spouse, you can't say nothing. Give me one of them Baptists, amen. Do me like this, wink at me or do something. I know you can't shout right now because you're sitting with your spouse. But if you've been married over 30 minutes, you done had a problem. Everybody in here who's been married over 3 days done had some buyer's remorse. Preach, Brother Leonard. Say amen if you can. But when the home and the church is led properly, people don't bail out. They hunker down. The question is not whether this church is going to have some problems. With this many people and people yet to come, of course you're going to have some problems. Quit running all over the city looking for a better church, looking for a perfect church. If it is perfect, the moment you get there, it ain't going to be perfect no more. Preach, Brother Leonard. Do it look like I'm scared of y'all? Young people, I'm like Bone Crusher. I ain't never scared. It starts in the text with leadership. That's why Paul said, some of you are apostles. Say amen. Some are prophets. Some are evangelists. Some are pastors. He starts with the leadership. He has not mentioned the members yet, because the hinges on which a successful church swings starts and stops with those who lead that church. You see, you got to have visionary men. Greenville Avenue, you're blessed. You got see, blind folk can be in the car, they just can't drive. Blind folk can be on the plane, they just can't be the pilot. Blind folk can be on a ship, they just can't be the captain. Blind folk can be on a train, they just can't be the conductor. And blind folk can be in the church, they just can't be in leadership. Y'all done got real quiet on me here now. You remember our Lord said in Matthew 15:14, if the blind lead the blind, everybody going in the ditch. Say amen when you can. That's why you better make sure, even if you don't have 20/20 sight, you better put people in leadership who can lead you down the... You see, one of the greatest leaders in our the past century was Vince Lombardi. Next Sunday is the 50th rendition of the Super Bowl. Well, you know who are sports enthusiasts. Y'all used to be really good here in Dallas, but... amen, somebody. I grew up, I'm 55 years old, and when I grew up in Tallahassee, Florida, we didn't have nothing but the Dolphins. I was a big Cowboy fan. Bob Hayes went to the school I did, Florida A&M University. He and my son graduated from that school, and my wife works at that school, there in the law school in Orlando, and I was a big Cowboys fan. Loved the Cowboys. This way back in the day with Bob Lilly and Preston Pearson and Drew Pearson. Got Calvin Hill. You got to be older now. You can't. If you ain't 50, you don't know what I'm talking about. This way back for Tony Romo and all these guys. This back in the day. But nobody stays on top forever but Jesus Christ. That's why I'm going to stay on. Somebody asked me, who you pulling for? I'm pulling for Jesus. Say amen if you can, because when I'm with Jesus, I can't lose with the stuff he used. The Super Bowl trophy is called the Lombardi Trophy. It's named after the legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi. He won the first two Super Bowls, and thus they call the winner's trophy of the annual Super Bowl the Lombardi Trophy. When I read his memoirs years ago, I loved to read the biographies and autobiographies of successful people. And in his book, Vince Lombardi said something about leadership. He would always say to the players of the Green Bay Packers, who were historically great in a time where there were no dynasties in football, he said, gentlemen, this is how he would always start the season. Gentlemen, we shall strive for perfection. We shall have a relentless, this is how he said it, a relentless pursuit of perfection. And then he would add, knowing we can never obtain perfection. But in our pursuit of perfection, we shall find excellence. And what I'm trying to tell you, good leadership always wants the church to strive for perfection. But there's none perfect but Christ. No, not one. But I came from Orlando to tell you, if you reach for perfection, you may find excellence. And when you are excellent in the eyesight of God, you'll be a blessing to your fellow parishioners in the church. Paul starts with leadership. Three quick things I tell you. In this text, there's leaders, there's learners, and there's lovers. And this will make every church thrive. You first got to have leaders. Leaders have got to know some things. Everybody in the church is different. Your preacher told me how long he's been preaching, and I've been preaching 30 years, and I've learned, found this out. I know y'all know this. You got all kind of people here from different backgrounds, different value systems, different genres in religion, and you got to put them all under one tent and one umbrella. And sometimes that's challenging. Sometimes I don't think the members know how hard leadership's job is. Anybody here got children? Okay, there's a difference between being having children and being a parent. You got to have two children at least to be a parent. Because until you get two, if you got one, you don't never have to ask who did it. But when you get two, you know, you got to start investigating. Say amen when you can. And how many of y'all know children can be raised in the same house, got the same DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid? How many of y'all know that? And go to the same church and have the same Bible and watch the same TV, bath in the same bathroom, eat at the same table, eat the same pork chops and gravy, and drive in the same car, and they'll be different. Say amen when you can. That's how the church is. They get the same sermon, same Sunday school, hear the same song, and one of them this way and the other one that way, and the leadership got to make all of it work. Okay, y'all still ain't get it. If I put three pots of water on this table, hot water, boiling water, it depends on what I put in the water, the results I get. In pot number one, if I put an egg in there, hot water makes an egg hard. I wish I had a church in here. It ain't a great sermon, but it ain't that bad either, okay? It ain't that bad. I've heard worse, okay? You ought to say amen somewhere. If you put an egg in hot water, the egg gets hard. If you put vegetables in hot water makes vegetables soft. But if you put tea or coffee in hot water, it'll flavor the house. Oh, y'all miss your shot right there. There's some people in the church, when they get in hot water, they get hard. They stop speaking, they stop coming, they get mad at everybody. You say good morning, what you want? Sometimes trouble makes some people hard. And then other people, when you put them in hot water trouble, it makes them soft. They wimp up. They get, nobody knows the trouble I see. They want to throw a pity party for themselves. But then there's a third category. I hope you in it because I'm trying to be in that one. When you put real Christian in hot water, they'll flavor the whole house. Say amen when you can. Trouble ought not run you from God. Trouble ought to bring you closer to God. All that is under the umbrella of leadership. I wish I had time to tell you, but it starts and stops with leaders. This church will never be all it can be. It will never thrive. And believe me when I tell you, across this brotherhood, your preacher can tell you, there's a lot of churches just holding on by a thread. They're just paying the light bill. They're just surviving. But for Greenville Avenue to thrive, leading through the genesis of this 21st century, you ought to learn to follow good leadership. And in the same text, not only you need leaders, you need some learners. Now, in that delineation, Brother Gibbs, he said, not only do you have preachers and evangelists and apostles and prophets, he said, you got teachers. You don't ever need teachers where there's no students. So you got to have leaders, but you got to have learners. See, church, I wish I had time to tell you, church ought to be an academic, scholastic experience.
The church ought to be about edifying. It's all right to shout, but if you don't know what you're shouting for, say amen if you can. When you come to church, do not leave your brain at home. Bring your pencil and your paper, because church needs some learners. It ought to be some academia and scholastic going on in every congregation. If the church of Christ becomes all emotion and no learning, we're going to have dummies leading the church after a while. That's why you ought to be here on Wednesday night, so you can learn. That's why you ought to stay for Sunday school, so you can learn. That's why you come back on 6 o'clock Sunday night, so you can learn. You can never overdose with Bible. Say amen when you can. So when you get up, don't leave your brain at home and bring your emotions. Bring your cerebellum. Bring your cerebral cortex. Bring your thalamus, your hypothalamus. Bring your pineal gland. Bring your medulla up them God are with you, so that you can learn more perfectly what the will of the Lord is in your life. You young people, I wish I had time to address y'all and tell you, there's something you need to learn while you're young that'll bless you the rest of your life. Say amen when you can. And one of them is, young people, dispense with the delegation that has no destination. Okay, I'm going to say that again to you. Dispense with the delegation that has no destination. I see y'all didn't get it. Let me get it bonnet with you. Don't mess with people who ain't going nowhere. Y'all got it now? Say amen when you can. You see, young people, that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication does what? Corrupts good manners or good morals. And when you find these young people, while you're young, learn to associate yourself. If you want to be on the honor roll, hang with people on the honor roll. If you want to go to college, hang with people who are going to college. If you want to have something, learn from people who got something. There's some people you hanging with, you ain't got no business. You know, the people who ain't going nowhere. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Peter Weedy Straw, the devil's son-in-law. He ain't going nowhere. T-Bone and Shorty and Big Baby and Lil Pistol Starter, they ain't going nowhere. You know the Gold Ring Slang Gang, they ain't going nowhere. You know the do-rag regime, they ain't going nowhere. You know the folk that go to Walmart with their pajamas on, they ain't going nowhere. Preach, Brother Leonard. You know them fellas that wear their pants down over their behind, showing their dirty underwear and an anatomical accoutrement, they ain't going nowhere. You know the people that smoking crack but can't learn chemistry, they ain't going nowhere. That girl that thinks she a brick house but ain't got no furniture upstairs, she ain't going nowhere. They can shake what the mama gave them, but they can't do what the mama taught them. They ain't going nowhere. I came by to tell you today, we not only need leaders, but for the church to thrive, we need learners. Where I live in Orlando, y'all come down there and go to SeaWorld and pay $100 to get in. To see a whale jump in the air and dump water on you. Now, I say y'all, because people who live in Orlando, we don't go to none of that stuff, okay? But I found out what SeaWorld does, and this is why, this is what the church must do. When you see Shamu jumping in the air, what they do is go to the Atlantic or they go to the Gulf, because Florida is a peninsula. We're surrounded by water. They do not go out into the ocean and find a whale that can already jump through a fiery hoop. They go and capture grown-up whales, bring them back to SeaWorld. They don't train the ones they capture. They wait till they give birth, and they train the babies. Y'all done got quiet on me here. Because the ones who've been free, Grandma say they're too long in the tooth. They can't train them. They wait till they have babies, and they train the baby how to jump through a hoop, because any institution that thrives and successful has a good training and teaching program. And what we all have to do is get these babes in Christ, train them, teach them. It starts with leadership, but we got to have some learners. If we're not careful, the Church of Christ is going to leave where Christ wants us to be, because we don't have people teaching and learning like we should.
and they'll listen to anybody and anything. They watch TV preachers now. They got YouTube preachers. They don't listen to the gospel preacher anymore. We need a room full of folk who are learning. And since learning is redundancy, it's chronic, those of you who've been in the church a while got to stop giving Brother Gibbs and me a hard time about, I heard that before. We sing that song every Sunday. It may be old to you, but it's new to somebody else. Y'all heard that story about the boy, little Johnny, in third grade, and his teacher was talking about about American presidents. She was teaching the class about American presidents, and when she got to the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, the former senator from Illinois, and who was assassinated, she explained to him in 1864 in April that Abraham Lincoln was shot at Ford Theater by John Wilkes Booth and died the next day across the street. And when she explained to him about the assassination, little Johnny began to weep and wail, gnashing her teeth, crying. She said, Johnny, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying because John Wilkes Booth shot Abraham Lincoln and killed him. She said, boy, that was a long time ago. He said, yeah, but I just heard about it. You see, what's old to you is new to some. Say amen when you can. It's new to somebody else. See, it making him cry. It don't make you cry no more. I came by to tell you, quit rushing us out of fundamental teachings in the church because you've been baptized since Pentecost. Some other people. Some people just got here. And they don't know what you know. And for them to learn, we got to rehearse. For this church to thrive, we got to have some leaders, but we got to have some learners. Last thing I need to tell you, and I go on my merry way, not only for the church to thrive and not just survive. Now, if y'all just want to survive, anybody can do that. We got enough people who are average, also ran, in the mean. What we need is thriving, productive Christians and congregations of the Lord's church. Not only does the text have leaders, it starts with leaders. You ought to always start where God starts. Don't you ever circumvent. That's what's wrong with the home. Now we're telling these women, you know, you don't need a man. You may not be able to get one, but you need one. Preach, Brother Leonard. Now the children got as much voice as the parents. God set up every institution with leadership. And when you break ranks, you're going to have trouble in that organization. The text starts with leaders, then it moves to learners. And then he finishes in verse 15. He says, we ought to speak the truth in love. For a church to grow and thrive, you need to be loving. You need to be forgiving. You need to have compassion on people. But for the grace of God goes you. It bothers me who folk talk against welfare, and you just got off last month yourself. Say amen when you can. I mean, you know, there's some people, once they overcome, they look down on other people. But I came by to tell you, the church of Christ and the body of Christ must always speak the truth. How? In love. Because love, as the Bible teaches, is that 20 megaton bomb that God left in the church. Jesus said in John 13:35, you remember? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You remember that terrific, time-tested, triumphant trio that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 13:13. He said, out of faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Some of y'all looking at me funny. You're looking at me just like Tina Turner. You're looking like you want to ask me, what's love got to do with it? Well, you got to remember, Tina said that because she was married to Ike. But love's got a whole lot to do with it. Well, Paul, since you're not here, tell Greenville Avenue why we need leaders, why we need learners, and why we need lovers. Out of the three, faith, hope, and love, why is love greater than the other two? Because faith investigates. Hope hesitates, but love propagates. Faith looks. Hope listens, but love feels. Help him, Brother Leonard. Faith obtains. Hope retains, but love sustains. Faith ascends. Hope descends, but love transcends. Ain't nobody happy but me and Jesus right now. Faith observes. Hope conserves, but love preserves. Faith justifies. Hope purifies, but love satisfies. Faith inspects.
Hope expects, but love respects. Faith looks far. Hope looks to, but love looks through. Go ahead and preach, Brother Leonard. Faith opens the door. Hope enters the door, but love abides at the door. Faith steps out. Hope steps on, but love steps in. Y'all still ain't got it. Sister girl, come here. Faith will make him pop the question. Hope will make him set the date, but love will make him put a ring on it. Faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these. The greatest of these is love. So for the church to thrive, the text reveals we need leaders, we need learners, and we need lovers. Beloved, love can be very complicated. I got two children. My son, 30 years old, whom I'm well pleased, the only son I got. Got a daughter, 25, and she gave us our first grandbaby, and he's 14 months old, enjoying my life, keeping me young. And my son works in Houston, lives in Houston, worship with the church there at Belfort Road in Houston. And as Brother Gibbs said, he's tall, handsome, suave, debonair. He got it from his daddy. Amen, amen. A lot of haters in this church. Amen. Y'all been drinking some haterade right now. Driving hate mobiles, eating hater chips. Been on Hater Boulevard, amen. But don't hate, congratulate. God may let you participate, amen. But he is a prince of a son. He's 30 years old, gainfully employed, has his master's from Florida A&M University and healthcare management, runs a place down there. He's proud of him. Love him with all my heart. And every time I'm in the vicinity, he'll come where I am. My wife couldn't come. She's working. And so when she couldn't come, he definitely wanted to come. I'm so glad to have him. But I got another child. I'm done. I know y'all ready to go. I know you got to go. But I got another child. She's 25. That's my daughter, my only daughter. And she's the baby. Now, you fathers know how daddies are with daughters. If y'all ever hear about Brother Leonard going to jail, you turn on CNN and you see the popo got my hand behind my back. I'm like Paul. I go to jail and start a ministry. Amen. Amen. That's what he did with the Philippian jail. I go there and stop me in ministry. Y'all still ain't got it. I'm like the Isaac brothers. I catch a case. I got a daughter and my son. We talk. I'm so proud of him. The love I have for him it makes me tear up. My daughter though is a daddy's girl. I'm done. This is it. Don't get lost in the story. On my way here today, she calls him on his phone, knowing we're together, and whatever that is, FaceTime, Face, whatever, so I can see her and she can see me. And my grandson, she's a daddy's girl. She calls me no matter where I am in the world. She calls at night and says, "Daddy, everything all right? They ain't got you in no flea bag hotel, do they?" You know, she asked them guys. I said, "I'm at Greenville Avenue." I said, but she always want to make sure dad all right. She's a daddy's girl. She's grown. She said, "We're inseparably close. Always been close." If you look in the dictionary, daddy's girl, they got Breonna Leonard's picture there. She's a daddy's girl, my son will tell you. Well, when she was two or three, maybe 2 years old, don't get lost in the story. I'm trying to tell you what love will do, and this is how you thrive and not just survive. But Gibbs, my wife, though, I'm the easy guy in the family. I've always been soft. The kids come to me when they're in trouble. My wife is more of a disciplinarian. She's not mean, but we used to call her behind her back, me and the kids, Sergeant Carter. y'all remember from she go in the kitchen and we go, okay. Well, I forgot to ask y'all. What's said in Texas? come on now. Come on, sister. What's said in Texas? I need a little bit better commitment from y'all. What's said in Texas? Okay. All right. My daughter, by 18 months, this is no lie,
I had been somewhere preaching. I came home. I'm on the couch watching TV. And she was in the kitchen with my daughter, and she had on them little tata, culottes, whatever y'all call it. I don't know what she did, but I heard my wife, pow, slap her on her thigh. My daughter's crying hysterically. My wife comes around the corner from the kitchen. I'm on the couch watching ESPN, reading the newspaper. And we got a playpen in the floor, so when she wanted to get too frisky, we'd put it in the playpen. My wife comes around the corner and puts Brianna in the playpen and points at Brianna. I don't know what she did. She's crying hysterically. My wife points at her and says, "And don't get out of there." Now, on her way back to the kitchen, knowing how close we are, and she points at me, "And don't you get her out of there." Come here, come here. Now, I got a problem. My baby, my boo, my girl in the playpen crying, leaning over the rail. I'm on the couch about, "Daddy, daddy." I'm on the couch crying, "Bree, Bree." But I done got the word from on high. Because this from on high. You better believe it. The word was, "Don't you get out of there. And don't you get her out of there." And I'm sitting there as a responsible man. I'm like Babyface. What kind of man would I be? Preach, Brother Litter. Well, what kind of man would I be? I'm sitting there, my baby crying. But the word said, "Don't get out of there. And don't you get out." And as a man, I'm trying to figure, how can I help my baby and not violate the word? And then I remember Greenville, my wife said she couldn't get out of there, but she didn't say I couldn't get in there. So I stepped over in the... I'm trying to tell you, sometimes in life, because of his word, God can't get you out of certain stuff, but when he can't get you out, thank you, Jesus, he'll come in there with you. He didn't get the three Hebrew boys out of the fire. He went in there with them. He didn't get Daniel out the light. And he may not can get you out of a marriage or off a job or out of a family, but when he can't get you out, because of his word, he can't get you out. But when he can't get you out, you can thrive right where you are. Come to Jesus. Quit running all over town. Quit looking for what you already got. You got great leaders. This is an atmosphere you can learn, and there's a whole lot of love. And where you have leaders, learners, and lovers, you can thrive. Not just survive. So let it be written. So let it be done. The grass withers, the flower fadeth away. But the words of our Lord shall stand forever. If you're here today, you're guilty distance from God. Come expeditiously. If you desire to put on Christ in baptism. Brother Gibbs, we still baptize everybody. Down in Orlando, you need to hear the gospel, the indissolvable plan of God for man's salvation. The gospel, the immutable facts of the gospel are these, according to 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Buried, rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your ways of sin, degradation, and iniquity. Verbalize, audibilize, confess that he's the Christ, the Son of God. Join him in baptism, immerse, submerge in water for the remission, removal, and the eradication of your sin. That process and that process alone adds you to the Lord's church. Mm. And there you live faithful to the Lord, calls you from labor to reward. If you're here and already a member, but you veer to the right or the left, if you're here today and you know you're in survival mode, but you rather survive, you rather thrive than survive, today is your hour. This is your chance to make the transition from survival to thriving. If you hear, desire prayer, you desire baptism, or you need to repent of sin, whatever your scenario, whatever your situation, I beg, plead that you come right now. Do it expeditiously while we stand and while we sing.
848. I can hear.